Right, so from Glamorgan having a lot to answer for,
They certainly do.
in producing a genuinely test quality number three who just accidentally happens to be Australian. So we were going to talk to the other, kind of other half of the answer to Australia's player of the decade. I think you're going to probably pretty get a pretty unanimous response to the fact that that is Steve Smith. But I do just want to give a brief mention, and I'll let you kind of come down on either side of the fence as to who you think is the greatest. But I do just want to give a shout out to your good friend Mitchell Johnson. He
Mitch,
bowls. He bowls to the left. He bowls to the right.
yep.
That performance in the Ashes 2013-14, which we don't want to dwell on too much.
No.
Genuinely the greatest show of fast bowling I've seen since I've been watching cricket. And blew England away. Australia were coming through a pretty tumultuous period of homework gate. Shane Watson was unable to do his homework. Mitch Johnson was in the side, out the side, just came in and just. I've never seen a bowler quite so single-handedly win a series.
Blew us all away,
Greg blew it away,
and
and
then
then
classically, he's now on TMS and seems like quite a good bloke.
seems like an absolutely lovely bloke, yeah.
Telling us that he used to sing the words to the theme tune from Frozen at the end of his mark.
Yeah, I know.
Credit where it's due. Good bloke, Mitch, and he bowled very, very well. But it's like, I think, was it when Gary Neville described Man City or Liverpool winning the title as deciding who your missus is going to cheat on you with?
Yeah, he also threw, interestingly, he also threw Leeds getting promoted into the mix as well.
Okay, good. So there's three options on the table for your other half. And I'd say, I mean, I'm sure we could come up with a third option as well, but choosing between Steve Smith and Mitch Johnson is very, very similar to that. The
And
one thing I'd
I
say,
don't want to spend my Christmas Eve doing it. And that's why I've handed it over
no,
to you.
and what I will say about Mitch Johnson is, when else did he do it? When else did he perform like an unstoppable god? And or did he literally just save it all up for the Ashes? Because otherwise, his career, maybe we should be talking about him in the same breath as, was it Michu, who was that striker who played for Swansea, and suddenly got into
Michu
everyone's
Johnson.
and got into ev very good. I like that. Suddenly got into everyone's fantasy team,
Yeah.
and I think they picked him up for 1 million or something like
Yeah.
that. And then what happened to him?
Absolutely
Nothing.
nowhere. He was one of those players that
Exactly.
Arsene Wenger was lambasted for not signing for Arsenal, and then
Yeah.
two years later, he was playing in Spanish Division Three.
Which Mitch Johnson probably was playing in Grey Cricket Division Three, a year or so after. So yeah, I'll be judge, jury, and executioner, and I'll plump for Steve
I'm
Smith.
not judge, jury, and executioner. Sorry, that's from Hot Fuzz.
Sorry, lost on me, completely lost.
right, India next.
Oh, India, good.
Kohli, obviously, next.
Virat, done. Yeah, next country.
Pakistan. Everyone loves Pakistan. Which Pakistan is going to turn up? And both Pakistans have turned up throughout this decade. Started it with the fiasco at Lord's with their former captain
Mr.
leading
Your good friend Salman Butt.
your good friend Salman Butt, bloody good rep, leading their star fast bowler into darkness, and one of the greatest kind of controversies cricket history's ever seen. The man that led them out of that, and he did it with push-ups on the pitch, he did it with an immaculate beard, and he did it with both the fastest Test 50 of all time and one of the lowest strike rates of any Pakistan captain ever. Is Misbah Ul-Haq. What more do you want from a captain?
Misbah. Yep, good man. And was he about 56 when he did it
And
as
he was
well?
about 40 when he took over the captaincy, yeah.
Yeah.
And he
And
came.
without trying to be in any way racist, because I know there are some people out there and we're completely against that. You look at the controversy over their young fast bowler at the moment, Mr. Naseem Shah,
Yeah,
and
what a
everyone says,
prospect
oh,
he
he's a
is.
16. He can't be 16. What a load of rubbish. So
I haven't heard anyone saying that, by the way.
let's. Well, if you don't mingle in the same circles, let's say he wasn't 16. So let's add that to the Misbah Ul-Haq. So how old actually is he? If we're saying you're making them younger,
Yeah.
then he was scoring his centuries at Lord's when he was probably
Yeah,
72.
yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. Well done to
Very
him.
Wally Hammond of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, think of where Pakistan started and kind of where they got to in the middle of the decade, where would they have been without him guiding them through? And also that moment, doing the press ups on the pitch after they won at the
Beautiful.
Oval.
No,
Was
Lords,
it
mate.
Lords?
Is it Lords?
Oval
Yeah.
was the test match that we went to when we watched Yunus Khan score the dullest double under I've ever seen.
Oh, dullest day of cricket.
Yeah, that was awful. But yeah, a beautiful moment. That kind of redemption story after 2006 and then 2010, they finally got a real man at the helm.
No,
I
absolutely.
think.
And great to see them. Great to see them back playing Test cricket in Pakistan as
Yeah,
well.
exactly. A lovely moment to round off a decade with.
I think adding to our desire to see Don Bess. Discussing Don Bess in 2029 as the decade's greatest batsman, I think it'd be good to look forward to us recording a pincher to pod in Pakistan at some point
Yeah,
in the next decade.
lovely. One of my bucket lists is to go and watch Test match in
Definitely,
Pakistan. And
definitely.
I'd love to get that done by the end of this decade. Because after that, I'll be too old.
Absolutely.
New Zealand, right.
Ah, well, so many to choose from, and we love them all.
Everyone's second favourite team. Bloody,
Nobody's
bloody good
first.
blokes from start to finish. Nobody's heard. Not even they're not even New Zealand sports fans' favourite sports team.
No, not at all.
Everyone's favourite team. Great culture, great blokes. Couldn't have wished for a greater final opponents in the World Cup this year. They played their massive part in that. Could be anyone. Ross Taylor, fantastic batter. He's carried them. Does it with style. Brendan McCullum, everything that AB de Villiers did, Brendan McCullum did just as much to kind of reinvent Test match cricket in this decade. I've gone slightly left field. That's the way we do. That's the way the pinches
I've got to
rolls.
hear this.
I've got Neil Wagner as my player of the decade.
Your good friend Neil Wagner, yeah.
Your good friend Neil Wagner. I have one rule in building my pace tax, and it's if you're going to take wickets, do it with left arm heat and leg spin. And he bowls left arm,
Love it.
seam up. He bangs it in short. He's a funny little kind of quirky, spiky kind of character, and he bowls just the same. You've got a lot of the. I think he's got quite a lot of the Alan Donalds about him.
AD, yeah.
His balls look much quicker than they actually are. He causes people trouble, but I think he's everything that's great about New Zealand. He gets 120% out of his talent. He runs in hard. He plays hard. He plays fair. And I think I love that he's kind of the dark horse of that great New Zealand fast bowling trio, in the exact same way that New Zealand are kind of the dark horse of every tournament, every series that they turn up in. Yeah,
Absolutely. And
love him.
if Michael Vaughan was his captain or his coach, what instructions do you think he'd
He'd
give
say
them?
just go out there and play a natural game, Neil. And also,
No simpler, is it?
and I don't. I also genuinely, he gives the impression that he's never done anything other than that in his life. I feel like he plays the same. He
Yep.
plays cricket the same now as he did when he was a kid. Growing up in South Africa, incidentally, and I think that's just everything that's great about New Zealand, isn't it? They
Yeah,
play the right way, they
absolutely.
play hard, they play fair,
Yeah.
and they get the best out of everyone that's there.
And they're so great that we could have chosen any one of all the Test cricketers that you've ever played for them, not even this decade, and it would still have been absolutely fine. So.
Also, objectively, I probably should have picked Kane Williamson, but
But you didn't, so.
I prefer Neil Wagner.
Done.
Right, West Indies next. Where
The
the
Windies. Oh,
Windies?
where have they had a good decade?
What a shit decade they have had.
Well, they won. They did win the 2016 T20 World
They
Cup.
won the 2016 T20 World Cup. They started off the
Did
decade
they
with a strike.
beat anything else? Is that was
They
right, yeah.
started off with a strike. Chris Gayle has kind of decided when and where he fancies playing for all of the last 10 years, and weirdly, where he does and doesn't fancy playing are exclusively in the West Indies and in T20 tournaments.
And just turning himself from a gun batsman into a just a I will do one bit of fielding and then stick my thumbs up at the crowd with my shades on, and they will love it, and that's fine.
And annoyingly, they do love it.
They do, yeah.
So,
A bit of the touch of the Wimbledon crowds of tennis, I always think.
yeah, you could have had a couple of players really. I mean, like I said, broadly shit decade. Could have a couple of players that are worth mentioning. Carlos Brathwaite with that magnificent over from off of Ben Stokes when he took him for four sixes in over to
And
win.
they weren't quite Yorkers, but they weren't half volleys,
No.
and like they just weren't six balls. And he, you could, we, yeah, we, again, there's probably a whole pod in there about doing the whole about that over in itself,
Yeah.
or a pod just on Stokes, or just many pods on Stokes. But yeah, that those sixes were
Yeah,
ridiculous.
and they all went miles. They all stayed hit, interestingly.
They did stay hit. They stayed absolutely
And
hit.
he's also an absolute, if he's not the biggest player playing Test cricket at the moment, I don't know who is. He is enormous. And he hits it as such. Anyway, he's not the player I've chosen as West Indies player of the decade. Like I said,
Sorry, Carla.
generally awful, pockets of brilliance. But I've kind of looked forward for the West Indies. What are those pockets of brilliance? Can we kind of where can we see someone moving into the next decade and taking them forward, and who's there that they can build a side around? You've got the likes of Craig Brathwaite and people like that that we think are going to be there for a while now. One of the most memorable performances of a decade of any Test side was West Indies at Headingley in 2018, 2018, 2017.
2017, yep,
2017,
draw
yeah.
2017, yep.
I went to the Sunday of this Test match, and it was again wildly dull. Nothing happened. Mark Stoneman batted all day for about 60, and I
Yep.
left thinking we're going to walk that. And then Shai Hope appeared, and he scored 100 in each
Good
innings.
name.
He's got
Such
a
a great name.
fantastic. He's got the best name in West Indies cricket since Ram Naresh Sarwan. He scored 100 in each innings. They chased down over 400. And it was a performance that you sort of thought, right, this is a West Indies I can get behind. This is a performance that the West Indies fans are going to get behind. T20 cricket has kind of taken over.
Yeah, they can start building again
They can start building
around
again
him.
around this guy. It was a phenomenal performance.
Yeah, the thing is,
147 in the first innings, 118 in the second innings.
brilliant.
What it was exactly what the West Indies needed to kind of start building again, start getting the nation behind a team.
Yeah.
He did it back at number four, which is where there's we've kind of long awaited. Who's going to be that West Indian number four that comes in and plays with flair and kind of gets everyone behind the team? So yeah, I'm giving it to him.
Give it a shy hope. Yeah, I remember that innings at Headingley. I was walking through Hyde Park on the way to pre-season football training, and like all day England were still going to win, and then they weren't because they just weren't losing wickets.
Yeah.
Interesting when you were talking about in there that, you know, within 10 minutes, or probably within 7 minutes, we both referenced, or you've referenced twice, days at Test cricket which were awfully dull.
Yeah.
And just imagine what people who don't like cricket or don't particularly like Test cricket would think of those days. You know, we love Test cricket, and we're saying something's awful. So maybe a little nudge there to the administrators, the ICC, ECB, and our good friends at Cricket Australia, because we know you all listen to the podcast. Let's think about how we can make this a bit better.
There's a podcast dedicated to that, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Our real life and fantasy cricket amendments or rule changes that's going to stop
Absolutely.
days like Yunus Khan batting for 200 at the Oval.
Not allowed.
Not allowed, yeah, just not allowed to do that anymore. Right, Shai Hope for the West Indies. South Africa, again, not quite to the same extent as the West Indies, but a pretty up and down decade. Again, started off with one of the greats. We spoke earlier about England's first Test team of the decade. I
Yeah.
saw Athers do an article about South Africa and the kind of the state of their game at the moment. Their first Test team of the decade had Graham Smith in it. It had
Graham Smith.
Graham Smuth. It had Jack Callis was batting in that side. It had AB de Villiers in it. It had Morney Mork. It
Hash.
had Hash in it. It had Morney Mork in it. It had like genuine greats of any nation starting in that team.
They must have had a. Did they have a faff in there somewhere? They normally do.
I don't think Faf was in that side. He might have been. Ashwell Prince was opening the batting. Great player he was. They had JP Duminy was in the middle order. I could probably find it, but we'll save that for
Me
another
too.
time. But
Yeah,
yeah,
fine.
they started with that kind of great team. They've had some, that team has kind of wobbled a little bit, and is Steyn retired? Is AB de Villiers fully invested in Test cricket or his international career or whatever it might be? And now it feels a bit like they're coming out the other side, isn't it? They've got this young side that we're about to take on, and Quinton de Kock's at the
Yeah.
forefront of that.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, they've got Smuth and Boucher and Callis
Yeah.
and Charles Langevelt, I think, as well. He's their bowling consultant now. As he was more from the 04, 05 era.
Yeah.
I do just like seeing, we've got to that age where we've now seen players debut in Test cricket and then become coaches. Be involved on that side of things. But I do just quite like the fact that they Graham Smuth has unapologetically just
Got the band back
caught
together.
as you say, got the band back
Yeah.
together and just done it. I mean, it'd be the equivalent of Swan, Anderson and Broad all being in charge of an England team just to wind up KP.
Yeah.
Give it another decade, maybe that's what we'll see as well.
So yeah, up and down decade, really looking forward to it. Everyone wants a good, hard South African side, don't they? That bowls quick and bats dry and is led by this kind of nails captain like Graham Smith was. Everyone wants
Yeah,
to
no, absolutely. So I'm keen to hear you who your South African player of the decade is.
It's AB de Villiers. Do you want to do
Maybe.
Bangladesh
Okay.
next?
Yeah, before we climb into that, I was going to say, credit where it's due. Not a cricketer, but whichever member of the film crew who decided to zoom in on Cameron Bancroft in the field in the South Africa v Australia
Yes.
Test match.
Yeah.
He deserves he or she. He or she deserves a lot of credit for upholding the game and making sure
Yeah.
that justice was
If
served.
there's one thing
So
we stand for,
credit where it's
if
due.
there's one thing we stand for on the pinch hitter, it's justice being served where it's due. And I mean, South African player of the decade. Yes, AB de Villiers has scored the world's fastest 100 in, I think, all three formats in the last 10 years. Has he given us the world's greatest series of press conferences? No, he hasn't. Bangladesh is an interesting one because their player of the decade is probably Shakib Ul Hasan. Probably their only genuinely world-class player in all formats. But he's currently serving a ban. Ah, rats. So it feels wrong to do anything but just name check him here. But actually, one of my favorite players in the world, just a bloke I like the way he plays the game. They came over here in 2010, and this guy took us for a rapid 100 at Lord's. Tamim Mitchell. I love his approach to the game. He's got fast hands, he's got great technique, he hits the ball hard. I think he's everything that's great about the way Bangladesh play, and I really want to see more from him.
Yeah, I just loved the Bangladeshis in the Cricket World Cup this year as well. I was willing
Yeah.
them to. There's, I think, the game against Australia where they were hanging on in there for ages, and then Mitchell Starc just came on and like took three wickets in an over or something, as he tended to do.
Tended to, yeah.
But yeah, they were just good, and it'd be great to really see one of these other nations really start to announce themselves on the Test ODI as well arena.
Yeah. They spent the whole of the last 10 years kind of nearly being there, haven't they? Bangladesh. They nearly got there, and then they do something stupid like lose to Afghanistan. And like we're just crying out for them to spend the next 10 years really knuckling down.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
I for one am really looking forward to seeing it. But yeah, I love Tamim. I love his approach. He's always got a smile on his face. He bats hard, he bats quick. And he's just got that right element of kind of feel like he might be a little bit unhinged, which makes him really, really humorous to watch.
Nothing we like more than an unhinged player.
Yeah. Sri Lanka, they've had an absolute stinker. Kusal Pereira, one of my favourite innings of the decade, back in February this year when he went for 153
Been a good year of
against
cricket,
that.
hasn't
It has been what a year it's been.
it?
Is it that 153 when they were 2-2? I think they were 2-2-4 for nine, chasing 300. 2-2-6 for nine, chasing 304.
All bets were off.
All bets are off. Kusal Pereira sticks him for 150. beautiful moment, brilliant, brilliant innings. Again, exactly what Sri Lanka needed to kind of bring them up out of the doldrums. They've waved goodbye to a guy who would have been any other country's, apart from Australia's, greatest spinner of all time. Hirak this year.
Beautiful.
Honourable mention for him. Mm-hmm. He wears two jumpers. He's a little bit tubby. He's a proper left arm tweaker.
Yeah.
And he takes absolutely shitloads of wickets. So again, I'll let you come down on either side of the fence. Do we go Hirak or another guy? I think he's the best batsman of all time. He's certainly the most elegant left-hander of all time. Averages 57 in Test cricket. You can finish the sentence if you want.
Well,
he retired in 2015. So do we give him the whole decade or not? But Kumar Sangakkara is one of my favourite players of all time. Like I said, I think he's the best batter of all time.
Yeah, I'm happy to go. Happy to go with that one. If Pereira is not on the on the ballot paper, then yeah, happily go Sangakkara.
Sanga, cool. And also, he kept getting better. He was so good for Surrey in a couple of years after he retired.
Just filled his boots for a while, didn't he? And I think the other honourable mention as well, which
he
talked about Pereira's knock. Earlier in this year, I enjoyed how in the build-up to the final day's play in Karachi, there was talk of, you know, Sri Lanka 4 wickets down, three wickets left, could they maybe still get this big total that Pakistan had posted? And no, they lasted 15 balls and didn't add any runs to their overnight, as we made reference to earlier in the pod. Just always get those little quirks of, you know, yes, that's what gives you hope, is the fact that every now and then someone does something ridiculous. We've probably been spoilt with so much ridiculousness in cricket this year. It's good to see as the decade comes to a close that we're going back to the tried and tested. This is what happens, kids.
Yeah, beautiful. I love how there was so much hype around it. It's 2019. Obviously, they're going to do it. And then they got absolutely steamrolled. Like, just to like put a real full stop at the end of this year. They just got absolutely steamrolled and there's no chance of going back. Right, Zimbabwe was next.
Good.
And this is tricky. So, England, over the course of this decade, England played 124 test matches.
Excellent.
Zimbabwe played 33. So we talk about an up and down decade, mainly down. didn't play a test for two years.
Talk me through
at the
ups.
Start of the decade. Charles Coventry had briefly the highest one day international score at the very, very start of this decade, and then was broken by Sachin Tendulkar after a couple of months of it.
Beautiful.
And since then, mainly downs. But one bloke has been largely ever present throughout that. He's probably their only genuine international, or at least first class quality player throughout the course of the decade. You've had people like Sean Irvine, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Jarvis, who've both kind of taken up county contracts, and frankly, why wouldn't you? The great players, but Hamilton Masakadza is—you talk about carrying a team. My God, that bloke has been through some stuff in the last 10 years, and I mean, that's just in cricket. I mean, I imagine he's seen some things in Zimbabwe as well, but he's carried the team. He played his last Test match when they played Bangladesh in November. So yeah, he's retired, but he finishes with a batting average of just a nudge over 30.
Very good.
And a bowling average of just ever so slightly higher. Only 16 wickets in his 38 tests, but he's got over 2,000 runs in his 38 Test matches. 500.
Credit where it's due.
He has carried us.
I mean, I've not followed Zimbabwe as much as I should, and I'll be getting that. I'll sort that out for the next decade. And as a result, I don't know quite as much about this chap you're talking about now as well. But one thing I will say about him is I get the feeling he just went out and played his natural game.
He did, absolutely. If there's one thing I will say, and I have extensively studied Hamilton Masakadza, he plays his natural game.
That's all we need to know.
So, yeah, looking forward to getting Zimbabwe back on the map and hopefully seeing them in some more limited overs tournaments over the course of the next 10 years. Ireland. What a decade they've had. Played their first Test match back end of last year. What I've chosen Tim Murta here. You could have had any one of them, really. You've got people like George Dockrell, who's kind of kick-started Irish cricket when they had that great run, admittedly last decade, but he kind of brought them into the public eye a little bit as a cricketing nation after the 2007 World Cup. Ed Joyce obviously is probably the greatest Irish and consistently Irish all format batsman. Although he wasn't, I mean, he did have a brief dalliance with England,
Yeah.
really. There's a beautiful photo. Have you seen that beautiful photo of Boyd Rankin bowling at Ed Joyce?
No.
With it's a photo of Boyd Rankin for Ireland bowling at Ed Joyce playing for
Okay.
England, and then when did Boyd Rankin switch and play for England? Probably
Yeah.
2014. It flips.
Excellent.
It flips, and it's Ed Joyce fielding and Boyd Rankin batting for Ireland.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You wouldn't get that in any
I've
other sport.
chosen. No, you wouldn't. I've chosen Tim Murta. He is again, arguably there. I mean, with Owen Morgan. I've loved to have chosen Owen Morgan, but Tim Murta is a proper seam-up bowler. He did wonderful things at when we played Ireland at Lord's in the summer. He had England on toast, and I can't imagine anyone's enjoyed their first day of Test cricket in the UK quite as much as Tim
No,
Murta
well,
did. It was great to watch it. He's had a proper county career, as he's been a proper county
good
pro.
old fashioned county pro, absolutely.
He's taken bundles and bundles of wickets for Middlesex. He took bundles more in his home ground against England.
Just
And then
perfect.
has he officially
He's
retired, or
retired, yeah.
is he
He's
just,
retired now.
yeah,
Retired. He's done all that, so just concentrate on the county game again.
what a way to go.
Absolutely. I think good of you to mention Big Bad Boyd in that list,
Yeah.
because obviously he is one of the players who, whenever there's a question about one cap wonders, test cap wonders for England, obviously he comes into that. But the fact he's now played for Ireland in test matches as well, it will always be one of those, that will cause arguments in pub quizzes. I
Yeah.
guarantee you that. If you're looking for
He's
another prediction for the next decade, then there's one.
there's one that Boyd Rankin continues to dominate
Absolutely,
pub quiz,
because
because
then he's
he's giving Yari Litmanen
he
a
is.
run for his money as being the world's most common pub quiz answer. Sorry, what were you going to finish on Boyd Rankin, were you?
No, I think I'd said all I wanted to on Boyd. He will be a quiz question answer in the next decade. And I don't have the stats to hand, and I am in a car, so I don't have my lappy in front of me. I think he definitely didn't get many runs either. So
He definitely
he's
didn't get
one
many
he's one of
runs.
those he's
I haven't even. I'm not even going to bother looking up how many
no
runs he
he's
got. I'm
not
just going to assume
he's
it's not
not
many.
I'll tell you something. He's not Amjad Khan, who played one test match for England and didn't even face a ball,
No,
didn't even come
we were there.
dead
Well,
didn't
we
in
watched.
Trinidad didn't even come to the wicket. But Boyd, Big Bad Boyd, it's a similar test batting record to in an England shirt.
Did I read somewhere the other day that someone also matched Adil Rashid's feet? Was it against India last year when he didn't bowl, didn't bat, and didn't take a catch? I think someone managed to do that again recently, which
The
is
there was
genuinely.
someone in the Australia Pakistan series who there was
Yeah.
there was a there was I can't remember exactly who it was, who didn't bat or bowl, or maybe even didn't get a catch either throughout the whole series,
Yeah.
but played in every game.
Brilliant.
So might have been that one. What maybe one for the next pod.
Yeah, we'll find
Bit
it
of
out and come
homework.
back to you. Afghanistan, and I've left them deliberately last, not just because they are the newest test nation this decade, but because this guy's performance gets my non-England champagne moment of the decade. It's Rahmat Shah who scored their first Test 100,
Beautiful.
and he did it in their Test match recently against Bangladesh. Which they won. And I mean,
Important to note, wasn't part of the World Test Championship.
wasn't part of the World Test Championship, nor should it be. But yeah, their first Test win, scored 100. I'm just going to get his stats up right now. He finished on 102. He got out for a duck in the second innings, which is brilliant. It was their first Test victory. He got out for 98 in the first innings of the previous match against Ireland. And then he came back and did it again against Bangladesh in Chattogram. What a moment. What a decade they've had. More so than anyone. You wouldn't. We all want to see them do well. We all want to see Afghani players start making a name for themselves. Rashid Khan was the obvious name here. I can't wait to see where he goes, but I just think for a champagne moment, seeing someone score 100, we'll share a link in to his celebration in the next Pinch Hitter email.
Absolutely.
It's brilliant. More of those, more where that came from.
And a special mention to them as well for the performance they put in. Was it their final group game against India in the Cricket World Cup, this year's World Cup, when they really did run them close, and got us very excited for that. Anyone who was supporting the underdog.
Which was everyone apart from literally everyone wanting them to
exactly,
win.
Exactly, yeah. Anyone.
Yeah, so beautiful moment. Can't wait to see where they're going this year. They've got some genuinely quality players. And I think, as of a lot of the Associate Nations, actually, it's going to be a big, big few years for some of those. But yeah, particularly excited about seeing where Rashid Khan and Rafat Shah take Afghanistan. Yeah, go on. That's me.
Perfect.
That's them.
Perfect.
That's the my rundown of Team of the Decade. Player of the Decade.
Yeah, no, I am. The only bits I was going to, and I thoroughly enjoyed that drink, just like to get, but make sure that goes on record for the benefit of the team. but that was a lovely whistle stop tour of all those different countries, picking out some good moments and just some excellent memories of a lovely cricketing decade that it's been. And I just want to chuck in three moments myself as well. The first one you mentioned, the press ups at Lord's by the Pakistan team. Absolutely loved that. Again, I was actually at that game and that day's playing, so that was came there hoping to see an England victory, but when you see something like that, it's like that was great.
That was great.
Thoroughly enjoyed in September.
Cricket was the winner, I think, is the phrase.
Absolutely,
that
cricket was definitely the winner. I've really enjoyed end of September this year. A very portly Marcus Trescothick running onto the as 12th man, running on for the final couple of overs to field for Somerset. He didn't look like he was busting a gut to get back in the first team. I think it'd be fair to say. So great to see Trez.
Didn't he field on his knees as well? I know he patented that a couple of years ago, and they still didn't decide it was time for him to retire. No. He was literally fielding on his knees, and they still decided he had a couple more years left.
Still fielded on his knees, but that was wonderful. And then the other final bit I'd like to mention is, and we did touch on the 2016 T20 World Cup. The highlight of that whole tournament for me was the West Indian celebrations, whenever they won a test, and going back into the team hotel, all to the tune of Dwayne Bravo's hit single Champion. And I just absolutely loved that. I remember one clip of them, the team bus going back to the hotel, and he was just going in with speakers, and Chris Gayle and everyone was just doing the dance to it. And it was absolutely brilliant. And so I think once we've finished the next item on the agenda of any other business, I'd like to play us out just by reading one part from the one stanza, I think you call it, from one of the verses, if that's okay.
Yeah, let's do it. I didn't realise he's had a illustrious music career, Dwayne Bravo.
Yeah, there's a pod in that. There's definitely a pod, yep, either in just Dwayne Bravo's music career.
No, because we want to be able to squeeze Brett Lee's single in there as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely,
if at all possible.
Already mentioned on this pod as well, but Mark Butcher, he'll be he's got an album out as well, without a shadow of a doubt, there's a pod there. A bit like Desert Island Discs, yeah, but just for cricket players.
Perfect. Desert Island Slips, we'll call it. There you go.
God, that's good.
God, that's good. Write that down. Any more? How do we want to sign off?
Yeah, no, I'm. I've
sign got, off in 20.
If you've got any other business, or we could swipe any other business, and we can just sign off with some lyrics from DJ Bravo.
No, let's sign off a decade with some lyrics from DJ Bravo. Will we be back this decade? Or is that us done? Are we going to come in? Will we try and get one in?
I wouldn't rule us out. Certainly wouldn't rule us out. I think there's every opportunity, but let's not promise what we can't deliver.
No.
So
we'll definitely try and get one in in between the end of the first and the start of the second South Africa test, I
Absolutely,
reckon.
before the start of the second,
Yeah.
so they start the New Year's test because it's always good to know where England played that first test of a decade.
Yeah,
So
exactly. It's good to get
make
that
sure we've
straight.
got that. So do you want to say bye, Terence, and then I'll just read a little verse for everyone.
Yes, mate, that's us done. I'm going to go and get stuck into Christmas. Christmas for me looks like surviving Christmas Day, getting stuck into Boxing Day. Can't think of a better way to spend Boxing Day than sat in front of the telly with leftovers in a test match. It's been a mega decade. It's been definitely my favourite decade as a cricket fan. Like I said, started off in the West Indies, hanging out with you, Penners, in 2009, and then we've seen some magnificent series. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
Absolutely.
thanks for me. See you
That's
later.
all. Nice one, Trigg. So let's finish with this. Michael Jordan, Obama, a champion. Mandela, a champion. Serena, a champion. Wendy, a champion. Shelly-Ann, a champion. 958, Bolt, a champion. Champion, 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 champion. Champion, champion, everybody know, say bravo, a champion. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.